am broken, I am encouraged. Been cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest, word assembly.
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
I'm going to be very brief. Turning points. What is a turning point? What is a turning point? A turning point is a moment when the course of events changes. When the course of events changes. When the course of events changes. Let's say, for instance, you're supposed to go to Lekki and you get a call and they say, okay, go to Mowe. Lekki is to where? To my own left, your right, isn't it? And you have received a call to go to where? Mowe. Where's Mowe? To your right. So it's like Nigeria is going in the direction of corruption. We all know it. A lot of people, killings and all of that. And in the calendar of God, and God is saying there's a turning point, there's a change, there's a new, there's the birthing of the new. So there's like a, I don't know, I was asking myself, is it 360 or 180? But I guess it's 180, right? A change in another direction. That is what turning point is. That is what turning point is. Number two definition, it says it is a time when a drastic change occurs or takes place in the life of a man or a woman. What is turning point? When a drastic, underline that word, what? Drastic change occurs in the life of a man or a woman. I was listening to a song in the office with my other colleagues, and the songwriter says, a worship minister in this country, he said, what God cannot do, what God cannot change, does not what? Exist. And another pastor came on, and he was speaking about the woman who had, her husband had cancer. And the doctor was even fighting her. I called a relative, come and warn this woman. No. She's troubling us here. She's giving us much work in this place. But the woman stood her ground because of what she heard. And she said, no. They didn't allow, I think they didn't allow her into the theater. No, not intensive care unit. But she stood her ground and said, no, my husband is not dying. And another nurse, by maybe error or by orchestration of the Lord, went in and saw that the man who was lying down lifeless started, there was shakings and all of that. He had to call the doctor and something entirely happened. Another testimony was that there was a woman who had died. The children were praying and they picked phone and placed by the side of the woman, and the woman jumped up to back to life. That's a turning point. Something you have given up hope on. Hallelujah. So, and I believe this morning that there's somebody here. I don't know what you're experiencing, but this word of the Lord is for you. There's going to be a change in your life. A drastic change. In the name of Jesus. And we'll look at practical examples of people who experienced turning points in the Bible. Number one, Jabez. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. Can we open to 1 Chronicles chapter 4 and verse 9 through 10. Jabez, Bible says he was a man honorable, respected in his family. He had the respect of everybody in the family. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. It means he was the most respected person in his family. If you are talking of somebody who has connections, Jabez. Somebody who everybody honors, respects, they accrue that respect to him and all of that. But there was something in his life. How did I know that there was something in his life? You will hear that, you will hear from the statement, the prayers he made. Bible says his mother called him what? Jabez. Because she gave birth to him with what? She gave birth to him with much pains. And as a man, you might not understand this. It's women that will understand this very well. She gave birth to him. It was like the labor was for days, not even hours now. prolonged labor. So as a result of her experience at the delivery room, she gave him the name Jabez. So everybody who saw Jabez on the street, they call him Jabez, meaning what? Sorrow. But Bible says he was a man honorable, respected in his family, but everybody who says him, hello, high five, Jabez, sorrow, how are you? So he carried that name everywhere he went. He went about with that mentality, sorrow, pain, agony. Every other person will do something well in class, but for him, he will experience, that was his experience. He will sit down in class, but he can't even see the board. Sorrow. But he cried out. Bible says, verse 10. And Jabez did what? Called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou will bless me and enlarge my coasts, and that thy hand might be with me, and that you will keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. So you see that this was the daily life of Jabez. He was experiencing grief. Everywhere he went, pain. Everywhere he went. I don't know, there's someone here, you're experiencing pain. Just like Nigeria, you are experiencing pain, you are experiencing distress, you are not, everybody will say, oh, let's go and play ball in the field, but you know yourself, say, I can't even do what my mates are doing. As a child, let's go and play ball in the field, you can't even go out and say you want to play. Oh, they call you, there's this job, but you know you can't even apply. Why? Because you graduated with a third class or something. Something that makes you to withdraw. Makes you to pull back. When others are saying, oh yeah, let's go and do this thing, but you are just pulling back. And people don't even understand the pain. They just feel like you are humble or you are just gentle, but there's something that you're experiencing that is pulling you back. Hallelujah. But it didn't end there. Bible says, and the Lord God granted him that which he requested. The Lord God did what? He granted him that which he requested. That was a change. It's a change. It is testimony we are reading there. Hallelujah. Number two example. I want us to look at Obed-Edom. This was a man. You know what happened in that story? First Chronicles 13, verse 12 and 14. Let me do a backdrop a bit. David had inquired that the Ark of the Covenant be brought back to where? To Israel, the camp of the Israelites. He said because it had, in the time of Saul, nobody inquired. Nobody even said the Ark of the Covenant should be within the people. So what happened? They summoned the Levites, summoned everybody, oh yeah, let's go, and they all went. They started out and they said, oh yeah, let's go. And they went, they started. But something happened. Bible says as they were coming, you know, Bible, Pastor quoted that scripture, as they were coming, you know what happened? The oxen that was carrying, pulling the ark, fell. And there was a man who was in that company trying to do what? To help the ark. And Bible says that Lord became very angry with him, struck the man, and the man died. And King David was like, whoa, protest go wrong. Amen. And so that created a fear, not just in the life of the king. I believe that everybody who witnessed that thing that day, like, And so what happened? The Ark of the Covenant, I believe, originally was to stay in the house of King David. Originally was supposed to stay in the house of King David. But because the Bible says David became afraid, even the people were afraid. So they looked, where can this thing? This thing that is killing everybody. He can't stay in my house. Obedidon. He's a, if he dies, Sarah. Amen. But what happened? Something that was meant to be the killer became what? The instrument of blessings. There was a drastic change in the, you know, if he was not blessed, the Bible would not account that he was blessed and that everything that he touched prospered. And I pray to someone today, you feel that you are trapped, you are lost. Something is at the neck, taking, trying to strangulate you and take life out of you. I declare in the mighty name of Jesus, that same thing will be used as an instrument for your upliftment in the name of Jesus. Something that was supposed to end that lineage, turn around, cause a turnaround, a shift in the history of your family. That's not all. There was this woman who had two sons, her husband, in the prophetic. I think 2 Kings chapter 5, the prophetic. The debtors came. Bible says, creditors came and they wanted to do what? To take her two sons. Why? The man was highly anointed, but he was highly indebted. Thank you, sir. And you know it can be frustrating for a man of God, highly anointed, but highly indebted. So much that when the guys, the people he was owing, came, they could not see any other thing in the house. Nothing else was valuable in that house except the lives of the two sons. Nothing else. You know, sometimes you enter somebody's house and you say, okay, if you can't give me my money, okay, let's pick this television. There was even no television in his house. To make the matter work, there was no car. You know, before you borrow money in bank, they will say you bring collateral. This man did not have no collateral. The only collateral was the anointing. Scripture says he feared in that. He feared the Lord. That was what scripture gave. That was the only thing of value he had in his life. So he died. He left the woman, and the woman was like, she looked to the right. Ah, my two sons. It was like the devil was trying to pound another. You know what it means to be without husband? And in her mind, like, okay, I have two sons. These ones will console me. Like, something will happen. And so the creditors came and they said they were going to take the two sons. And she cried out to the man of God, saying that, you need to help me, man of God. You know that my husband feared the Lord. The long and short of that story, at the end of the story, the man became a renowned oil seller. Oil and gas. You don't understand. Amen. You know there's money in oil and gas in this country. Not just in this country, but you know that there's oil is... Eh? One deal, one barrel, last... did I say one barrel? One shipment of oil alone. You see all this one that you are doing anger, everything, you know, there's no food and all of that. One shipment alone can rewrite everything. It will make you even forget your son name. Just one. One. And the man of God gave her an instruction. He said, go and gather vessels. You know, a ship. Eh? Okay, I was tracking a ship last week. It was supposed to bring an item for us. And I was watching, David would bear me witness. So we began to watch documentaries on ship. One ship, you know that container that they carry? One ship can carry thousands. You don't understand? One ship, you see that container that is going on the road, that 40-foot container. One ship can carry like over 20,000. So just imagine one ship carrying over 20,000 of that container coming to your house. Vessels. So the man of God told her, go and gather vessels. But this was a woman who, to even eat in the morning, a problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? To eat in the morning is a problem. They will have to wait for somebody to cook before she could even feed her children. Not herself now, to feed her own children. But she gathered vessels. After she got the miracle happened, and the man of God told her, go and sell. You and your children, pay the debt, whatever is left. So he gives you an idea that what she encountered that day was massive. So I don't know. I believe that this message is unlike me. I love to teach, but this is preaching. But to encourage somebody, you have given up hope, like you don't even know what else to do. But the Lord is writing your story this morning. If you believe that, shout a louder amen.
Amen.
The Lord is rewriting your story.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We declare that the doors are open for you.
Amen.
We decree the cessation of that pain in your life, in your family, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Peradventure, it's a pattern already in your family line. You know that diabetes run in the family, and so your granddad had it, your dad had it, and you are seeing the symptoms, you are showing the symptoms of. My sister was telling me that a 5-year-old, that they took the child to the hospital, and they discovered that 5-year-old had diabetes. I say, it's not normal. A 5-year-old, not even 50, 60, you know what it means? If every other person is drinking Capri-Sun, that child 5-year-old cannot even dare take that Capri-Sun. You can't bring that child to children's church and the boy will just, because the mom have for one, you can't take this Capri-Sun. But the child will not even understand. Hallelujah. I think time is seriously against me. So what can we do to have this turning point? How can we experience this turning point? You know, we can go on and on and on and on, and we talk about different people at certain times, at different times, different seasons, experience this turning point. But in your own life, how can you? David, I need admission. I can't even secure it. I need to pay my house rent. I don't even know. My landlord is calling. I'm ignoring. Even on WhatsApp, every single week, he's following me everywhere. I don't even know what to do. How can you experience a turning point? Number one thing you need to do, something that is common to most of these people we mentioned. Can we mention it? Prayer. Is what?
Prayer.
You cannot negotiate. This one is not, you can't say you want a new level or something to change. And you know, when this protest started, I shared with David, I said, it is not the protest alone we need, though. I agree we need to protest and all of that. But you know, you see, there's another dimension to which we need to lace what is happening. And so the first video clip I saw, no. We were driving home on Sunday. I don't know, no. We're driving home on Sunday, and we don't take this route anymore. We follow Governor's Road, Alausa, and all of that. And as I was driving, I sighted like 4 brothers around this FRS building, around that governor's office. You know what the brothers were doing on a Sunday afternoon? You know what they were doing? They were kabashing. You know this kind of... they held hands, and I could hear them from the other side of the road. I could do what? I could hear them from the other side. They were on the other side. I was on the other side driving. I could hear I could hear their prayer. Another night, we were driving around Excellence Hotel, and I was asking David, we're coming back home from work, and I was asking him, like, is that a noise or something? And he said, people are praying around 7. So it tells you that if you have not joined the train, see, it's not just a protest. We must add another angle, another perspective, another dimension to it. You can't just demand the thing happening there. You know, sometimes the pastor told us that what is happening there, if you see just a glimpse of what is happening there, you think it's normal for that man not to have said anything, or they are doing audiovisual abuse, whatever it is. It's not normal. It's not normal that you have a first class and you still don't have a job. You know what many people do? Because, oh, there's no job, there's no job, there's no job, there's no job. Okay, let's go and do master. He even did the master self. Nothing still came out of it. It can be frustrating. Before, when you have masters, if you have masters before now, they might not even do interview for you. Just when do you want? They will even ask you, when do you want to resume? And do you want us? They are negotiating with you the terms. But now, I have PhD self. No vacancy. Sincerely, you are overqualified. They will even tell you. Nowadays, they don't even say overqualified. They will just say, the person will look at you. Okay, you know what? Drop your file. We'll call you. We'll call. We'll get back to you. How many people have received calls? Hallelujah. And it's happening, and it's becoming a trendy thing in the family life, and you just think like it's normal. You must get angry in your spirit and say, enough is enough. Jabez said, Bible said, he prayed to the God of Israel, enough, I'm putting an end to this thing. Enough is enough. So we must engage in prayers. We must engage in what? When you are praying, it's not the one that you are praying and you are checking EPL scores. So you are checking what Arsenal played last night. Shabalaba yaga yaga. And your phone is on your hand. Or you don't even understand the degree of what is happening in your life. I'm talking of prayer that you are praying. Your body, your soul, your spirit praying along with you. That was what the scripture we read last week. Hebrews 5:7 says he prayed with what? Groanings, tears. That's the emotional part of him touching. Where is the emotions? Where is the emotions? It's in the soul. The tears coming from where? The body now. So you can't be praying and you are checking what's happening. You are on Twitter. Almost they said hotel dollar bridge. Something happened again. Engage God. And I must say this, sometimes you have to hard fasting, no? You have to hard what? Fasting. Shut down 3 days. Pastor told me of a story of a man, of a family, I can't even remember now. After they left MFM, they did some days at MFM. You know what happened? They crossed to the other side, redemption camp. They didn't have children, yes. And he was attending a church where, Abby, I think nothing, success. When the thing came to this level, the man was almost going, he told his wife, MFM. They went there, spent some days. I think they booked hotel or something, spent some days. After they finished, you would expect that, oh yeah, let's drive back to Lagos, Abi. You know what they did? Redemption camp. He got that. To be continued. They went to redemption camp. I'm telling you of things that men are engaging, men are facing, what people are doing that is making them high flyers in life. You have submitted a proposal and it's everywhere, proposal. Brother, proposal, leave that one. Go and start from somewhere. So we cannot negotiate prayer. You cannot negotiate prayer. It is a non-negotiable factor in all of this equation. You cannot negotiate prayer. You have to pray your way through. Sometimes you need to be angry, holy anger, angry, and say, I remember a joke sometimes ago. This happened, I was in the lorry then. There were these comedians and all of that. They said, they were talking about a church, that the guys brought cutlass to the church. And they said, "Iwo gwaye mi o, mo ka omo koro loni." Meaning that, The battle of my life. I catch you for corner. I corner you. I tear you into pieces. Mushao wele wele. You must be hungry to that level. Of course, you know that the battles we fight are not against flesh and blood. But I'm using that to depict how angry you must be like. You know that those times, if you offend senior, you offend, or one senior beat one junior for school. Say, don't worry, school, we know where we go meet ourselves. Because the junior knows that there's one road you always follow. That I will catch you, we'll go settle on for that place. And so that senior, if you will respect himself, you'll not pass that road. That we'll go and take the longer route. Hallelujah. So we must engage in prayer, active prayer. And in this thing, you can't help God. I must say you can't help God. I remember the story of this woman, Rachel and Leah. Who gave birth to children first? Leah gave birth to children first. The other lady, nothing happened. Isn't it? Nothing happened. Nothing. So there was this day that Reuben came back from the field, from the farm. And Bible recorded in Genesis chapter 30 that he had mandrakes. If you ask me, I don't know what that is. But the description of that thing is that mandrake, it is believed in the East or that ancient time to be like something, an aphrodisiac, or that aids fertility. So when Reuben came back from the farm, Rachel saw it, and so she approached the woman, the mother, Leah. Give me of the mandrakes of your son, and I will allow you be with our husband for this night. And so the woman looked, it's a good bargain. No problem. So the exchange, she collected the mandrakes, the fertility thing. She collected it, and so she went. Would you believe that the woman who gave out the mandrakes had went on to have how many children? 3. A son, another son, then a daughter. The woman who collected the fertility thing, nothing happened. But by verse 22, Bible says, and the Lord hearkened to Rachel. The Lord did what? Hearkened. Another word. Answered Rachel. Opened a womb. Meaning that, you see that mandrake thing, you've been trying to help, to do and all of that, but you've forgotten the original source that can help. Another scripture that provoked me was that Bible says Isaac prayed for his wife and she conceived. I say, Isaac prayed for his wife. I got home one day. When I saw that scripture, I got home one day. Ikata balaga yagada balaga yagada ba. Libra kata higa baraga engelo braga hege de rosu kata. You engage. It was as though I was seeing that scripture for the first time. For the first time. The onus is on me. Likata higa raga henge du brahande zege debe lege yege debe de. So you engage, what I'm saying is you engage the word of God. You engage, you don't just go with just mere words. You engage that word that has been revealed to you. You are not just reading to story. If I need storybook, I will go to the bookshop. This one, Isaac prayed, engage. Engage, 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 engage. Hallelujah. Okay, let me say this. Number 3 thing you need to do is, what is your mind full of? Are you constantly thinking of the pain, or you are meditating on God's word? I know the pain is there. Kenneth E. Hagin said he was confessing the word, but the pain, the doctors will still come and check. But he was declaring it. He said, by his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. By his stripes, I'm healed. But the pain was still there. But he didn't stop the confession. You know what? The Bible says in Hebrews 11:14, he said, if they had been mindful of the city where they had come from, they would have had an opportunity to go back to that city. He said, but they look forward to a country. You know that city he was talking of? That if they were mindful, if their mind was full of Egypt, they would, an opportunity would have opened up for them to go back to Egypt. But their mind was not on Egypt. Their mind was on the city where the Lord has. So what city has the Lord revealed to you? What city? What are you dwelling on? You know thoughts are valid transaction codes in the spirit. Do you know that? Do you know that? So what is going on in your thought life? 100% of the time is just that. But you don't even, there's no even scripture that you are meditating that this, I will squeeze. And you know, if you go to the threshing floor, let me not even use threshing floor. You know those women that make kuli kuli? Those of us in the north would understand better. When you go, they will first, the groundnuts would have grounded it. They begin to do what? To squeeze it. To squeeze it. To squeeze it. You know what they are doing? They are generating oil. They are putting pressure on the nut itself. Squeezing it. Squeezing it. The same thing, the same process is used for wine. So the devil will make it. This is where the devil will come. You know, this is a generation where we believe in everything instant, instant, instant. Instant coffee, wait and get, and all of that. So the devil will tell you that, say you are confessing, nothing has happened now. Eh? The devil will make you think that. But do you know that for any building to stand, there has to be what? Foundation. Are foundations seen? Are foundations easily seen? But what you are doing when you are praying is that you are laying the spiritual, the supernatural structure that will make that building stand. So, my response to the devil, whenever he comes that way, I will say, it is working. I'm laying the foundation. Foundation, I'm laying the foundation. That you have not seen the skyscraper, don't worry. I'm laying the foundation. The structure that will carry the building, I'm still laying it. Hallelujah. Time is against me. Can we just be on our feet? I want to be, not just be hungry, but be purposeful in the place of prayer. Father, thank you. Can you just open your mouth? I don't know what exactly it is. I don't know what exactly it is, but I believe that we are on the verge of a turning point. As a nation, as a people, I believe this word that I've just spoken, the word of God, is not for everybody. There's someone hearing that word is for you. John chapter 16 and verse 24 says, you have not asked me anything yet. You have not asked me anything yet. It said, ask. Can you just mutter? Can you just pray in the spirit? Libra kazunto lo brogodo shanta higa dabaladosh. Kata kalabraga yaga dabalaga yaga dabalaga dabalaga da. Libra gazegedebedebelegedo shanta libra gazegedosh.